I want us to open our Bibles this morning in the book of Exodus, chapter number 4. And then we'll move into chapter number 5, but Exodus chapter 4, commencing to read at verse number 27. And let us continue the reading of God's Word here and the meditation upon the Word of the Lord this morning. Exodus chapter 4, commencing to read at verse 27. And the Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. Continue in chapter number 5. And afterward Moses and Aaron went in, and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The Lord, or the God of the Hebrews, hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with a sword." And the king of Egypt said unto them, "Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens?" And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land are now many, and ye make them rest from their burdens." And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "Ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick, as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words." And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they speak to the people, saying, "Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where you can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished." So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, "Fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw." And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, "Wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as heretofore?" Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, "Wherefore dealest thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants, and they say to us, make brick. And behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people." But he said, ye are idle, therefore ye say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there be no straw be given you, yet shall ye deliver the tale of bricks." And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case. After it was said, "Ye shall not diminish aught from your bricks of your daily task." And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh.
They said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. We'll end our reading there, and God will once again bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, the word is open before us this morning. We say, speak to us. We pray that our God, the lessons that thou didst teach Moses, that thou will teach us. That thou will give us grace in the day of testing. Help us, our God, to know what to do. And, O God, we pray in Jesus' name that thou will bless thy holy book and holy word to every one of our hearts and point us to Christ today. Oh, that we might cry unto thee and cast our burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain us. Lord, bless us this morning in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. When we were concluding our message last Lord's Day morning in this passage of God's Word in chapter 4, I drawn to your attention that indeed Moses sent his wife and his children back to Jethro because of the circumstance that he found himself in, but he went on. We find that God was working at that very same time in the heart of Aaron. Remember, for 40 years, Moses and Aaron had not been together. They hadn't shared together what the experiences that Moses had gone through for 40 years since the time that Moses had fled and that he himself had gone to the backside of the desert. Now after 40 years, they've met up because God sends and speaks to Aaron, verse 27, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the Mount of God and kissed him. Here's the two brothers, and they're meeting up together after 40 years that they were apart. And now we find that God's sending them into the land of Egypt together. There are 40 days it's going to take them. 40 days journey between the Mount of Horeb, or the Mount of God, as is said here, till they would arrive before Pharaoh in Egypt. And I'm sure you can imagine with me just what they discussed together during those 40 days journey as they made their way to Egypt. I have no doubt whatsoever that Moses talked about the loneliness of that moment when he had to flee and had to run away because Pharaoh at that time, the Pharaoh of that day, was seeking his life to destroy it. I have no doubt whatsoever he told them how he met Jethro and how that came about and how that he married and how that he looked after Jethro's flock in the backside of the desert. Then of course he would tell them about the meeting with God out there and the schooling of God in the stillness and the quietness as he looked after the flocks and as he talked with God and God spoke to him. Then he would tell them about the burning bush and how that God had drawn him close to the bush and how that God had spoken to him in a very personal way and how that he didn't really want to do what God wanted him to do and how that he doubted and the fears that came into his mind and the arguments that he had and his inadequacy for the task. And he'd tell Aaron about how God had answered all of those and how God had dealt with his heart until the moment that God made him willing to go. Then, of course, Aaron would tell him about his father's house. Aaron would tell him about the family circle. Tell him about what was happening and how that God had been dealing with his people. The two brothers, they journeyed together and they walked together for the next 40 days. One sharing with the other. And now, of course, I believe that Aaron's heart would be moved as he heard the story of how God had dealt so graciously with Moses. And I have no doubt whatsoever that Aaron was conscious that God was real to Moses. The God of the Hebrews, the God Jehovah, was so real, and the intimate relationship between Moses and God, and how that God had spoken to him in a very wonderful, wonderful way. I believe their hearts excited now because God's sending them to Egypt. And they're excited because together two brothers are on the journey to deliver. That's what they were going to do. They were going to deliver the children of Israel, for that's what God had chosen Moses, given them the task to do. What expectancy was in their heart as they made their way into Egypt another time, with all the memories of the past. Then, of course, with all the challenges for the present. Then we find that when they came, in verse 29 it says, "And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel." You can imagine that happening as they gathered the elders who hadn't seen Moses for 40 years. They too remembered that happening 40 years before that. Whenever Moses had to take his journey out there and had to run and flee for his life, they gathered them together, and as they gathered the elders of the children of Israel, it says that Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses. Now notice that. It wasn't that Aaron spoke the words that God had spoken to him. Because God says, "I'm speaking to you, Moses. Aaron's simply your mouth. He's the one you say, 'Well, I'm not adequate, I'm not able to speak.' And I've allowed Aaron to journey with you. But remember, I'm speaking to you, Moses. And then you speak to Aaron." And the Bible says, Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses. And he did the signs in the sight of the people. And I can see there that as he does those signs, then they realize that this is of God. The elders realize that God is in this. That this is indeed of God. And notice what it says in verse 31. "And the people believed." Remember, that was one of the fears that Moses had. "They won't believe me. God has said to them they will." And God had said about the miracles and the signs that God had given them. And it says this, "And the people believed." So we thank God for the wonderful response here. That's the first thought. The wonderful response. The people believed. I'm sure that Moses thought and said, "You know, why did I doubt? Why did I go through all those doubts and fears? You know, I had those doubts and fears for nothing. Because it's happened just as God said it would happen." And I believe, you know, that this was an encouragement to Moses just to trust God. Trust God because it happened just exactly as God had said it would. I'm sure there are times in your life, just like mine, that we can't understand. And perhaps we're dismayed because we don't understand just what's happening in our lives and why God's allowing it to happen in our lives. And we have questioned those things. Just as Moses in chapter 4, he questioned just how that God was going to work it out. And now it says this just in a simple phrase, "And the people believed." Oh, that we would just trust the Lord, friend, instead of all the doubts and fears that we have so often in life's experience, just to trust the Lord. "I believe God. I believe God. Even though things are not as it seems that I want them to be, but God has promised. Therefore, I believe God." But notice something else in this wonderful response. Not only did they say they believe, but look at verse 31. "And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction." You know, there were times they thought that nobody cared. Nobody cared at all. And here's Moses through Aaron speaking. And God is reminding them through the lips of Aaron that God says, "I have seen your affliction." They thought that nobody saw. And God says, "I know your sorrow." And God says, "I'm come down to deliver." And that's the message that indeed touched their heart. Yes, God has seen this. And God has known what we have been going through. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction. Are you feeling today that nobody cares? Is that the experience that you're going through this morning, that nobody understands what you're going through? Listen, the children of Israel believed that then, not knowing that God that God had been caring all the time, that God had been planning all the time, that God had purposed all the time of that inactivity. God had purposed this moment in the fullness of time to happen, when God would come, not only see and look upon their affliction, but that God would deliver them. You know, when they heard that, their hearts were touched. And this is what it said. Then they bowed their heads and they worshipped. To realize that God has been there all the time. And they bow their heads and they worship. Revival breaks out amongst these people. God comes with a freshness. Remember, these are people that down there in Egypt, when they were in the midst of their bondage, they had compromised. Here are people that indeed many ways were backslidden. These were people, even some of them had worshipped the idols of Egypt because they thought there was no hope. But now, instead of everything falling apart, you know what they find? Everything's falling into place. It's amazing how that we see things differently. We think everything's falling apart, friend. Instead of knowing that there's a sovereign God who is caring for His children. You know, whenever it comes to Thursday night, we're going to talk about, Mr. Bax will talk about the perseverance of the saints. And how that God will bring His children through. How that God gives His children grace even in the day of testing. But God has assured us that God will bring His children through. Brother, you and I are going through. He's bringing us through to victory. And God just blesses these hearts and the people believe and then they bow their head. They worship. But notice not only the wonderful response here, but notice secondly the worthy request. We'll come to chapter 5 now. Let's just look at the worthy request, because it says in verse 1, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go." Now, whenever I see this, these words here, people just read that as if it was, well, just as happened. Well, friend, let me tell you this. Here's an amazing thing. Moses and Aaron appear in the presence of Pharaoh. Now, that is an amazing thing because, in actual fact, remember, Moses is carrying in his hand the shepherd's rod, and to the Egyptians, the shepherds were an abomination. And now, a man standing with a shepherd's rod in his hand is in the very presence of the greatest king of the world in that day, King Pharaoh. How did he get there? How did Moses and Aaron arrive in the very presence of the king to deliver the message of God? Listen, it was practically impossible for people to get into the presence of Pharaoh. I can only put two words. But God. But God. I see here the sovereign plan of God, friend. And whilst it seems to be humanly impossible that they would ever arrive in the presence of Pharaoh, holding a shepherd's rod, something an abomination to the Egyptians, and yet they're not only standing before the people of the Egyptians, but they're standing before the very king himself. And God, when God has a plan, friend, there's nothing impossible with God. Only believe. You so often we think that this is impossible. We'll never be able to do this. That's what Moses said. We'll never be able to do it. And humanly speaking, we will never be able to get to Pharaoh. But God had purposed that they would. You see, friend, this was just simply the fulfilling of the sovereign plan of God. Isn't it good to be in the center of the sovereign plan of God, friend? To know that you're in a place, list, they were standing before Pharaoh, and to know that I'm here because God has purposed me to be here. And the message that they brought was this, thus saith the Lord God. They were in God's message, God's mission, delivering God's message to him. And the only reason why they were there was, it was a miracle of God. They never could have got there They never could have stood in the presence of the king. Only God provided the way. But God. I'm not going into this morning, but let me tell you, friend, I just think of those two words, but God. Who can forgive sins but God only? But God, who is rich in mercy. But God was with him. But God knoweth your hearts. But God gave the increase. Go through your Bible and just take all the but gods. And friend, when you think of things impossible, just remember this, but God. But with God, all things are possible if we only believe. And can you imagine whenever he went into the presence of the king and Moses and Aaron went in, look at verse 1 again. And they said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. Here's a word of command. Here is a word of authority. Let my people go. Can you imagine what that must have been whenever they stood in the presence of King Pharaoh? Nobody dare tell him such a thing. But you see, here was a worthy request. You see, this was a reasonable request that they made. Let my people go. Let's look at it again, verse 2. Verse 1, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And then verse 3, and they said, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with a sword. Here's the worthy request. It was a reasonable request. Because you see, the idea of worshipping a god of some sort was acceptable in those days, even to King Pharaoh. It would have been an acceptable thing. You see, Pharaoh was not an irreligious person. Because not only did he perceive himself to be a god, and he did. He perceived himself to be a god, but he also paid tribute to all the pagan deities of Egypt. And indeed, the request to go 3 days was not unreasonable. Because in actual fact, it was acknowledged in Egypt that not every place was an appropriate place to worship. So asking him to go 3 days into the desert, that was an acceptable thing. It was a reasonable request. And then, of course, what he said, the reason for it, that they may sacrifice unto me, that also was an acceptable and a reasonable request. But let me tell you the reason why. Because you see, whenever we think about the sacrifice, it would not be appropriate to do it in Egypt. And the reason why it was inappropriate to do it in Egypt was this. Israel sacrificed the animals of the sheep and the oxen and the cows. But why not do it here? Why not sacrifice it here in Egypt? Listen, friend, it would not be appropriate. Because you see, to do it in Egypt, the Egyptians, they perceived those animals to be sacred. And if they would sacrifice the animals in the presence of Egyptians, that would only be, as it were, in your face. And they therefore could be stoned or they would cause problems. And so therefore it was a reasonable, the whole request that was given was a reasonable request. Let me show you that. Keep your hand there. Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8, verse number 25, it says this. And Pharaoh called Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. In other words, it was an abomination for them to sacrifice these sacred animals. And so therefore what we would do would be, as it were, an abomination to the Egyptians. And what would be the outcome? Look at the rest of the verse. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abominations of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as He has commanded us. And so I notice here, here's a reasonable request. Something that Pharaoh could have understood whenever they made it. We're not trying to do something just to cause trouble. We need to go. We need to go into the desert. We need to go into the wilderness 3 days to sacrifice. We need to leave. So therefore there's no animosity with the Egyptians. And so it was a worthy request. But notice the willful reply here. Because whenever he said in verse number 2, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? Now the word Lord, he said, is in capital letters. In other words, who is Jehovah? Who is Jehovah? That I should obey his voice to let Israel go. I know not Jehovah. Neither will I let Israel go. Now I have no doubt whatsoever that Pharaoh heard of Jehovah. Because here was a band of people, the Hebrews that were living in his land and doing his work. And therefore it would be natural that he would know that the God of Israel was the God Jehovah. But he asked the question, who is Jehovah that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord. What he was saying is this, he's not my God. I don't know him. I don't know him personally. And so he sets his heart to defy God's command. Notice what he says. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? You see that word? That proves the fact that he's smarting. He's angry. And you know why he's angry? He's angry because here's a message, Moses Aaron says. Here's a message from God. Let my people go. In other words, obey me. God's saying to the great Pharaoh, let my people go that they may sacrifice to me. You see, nobody ever spoke to Pharaoh like that. Nobody ever dare speak to Pharaoh like that. Because let me tell you, anyone who dared speak to Pharaoh like that would have been dead. He would have killed them. And yet here's two men, Moses and Aaron, standing in the presence of the mighty Pharaoh, the greatest king of the land in the world at that time. And they say, let my people go. That's what God says. And Pharaoh's smarting. Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord that I, the mighty Pharaoh, should obey his voice? You see, in the land of Egypt, and you have to understand this, in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh possessed unbridled authority, unbridled power. In actual fact, the people believed that Pharaoh was a child of the sun, and he was a god. They believed that he was a god. They believed that he was worthy to be worshipped. In actual fact, the highest oath of the Egyptians was, by the life of Pharaoh. That was the highest oath that could have been taken. By the life of Pharaoh. Because he was looked upon as a god. And the people of Egypt, they existed for him. No one ever suggested to Pharaoh before that he should obey some other god. Because everybody obeyed him. The message that Moses and Aaron brought into the presence of the king, friend, made him angry, made him smart. And here's the arrogance of them. Who is Jehovah? Who does Jehovah think he is that I should obey him? Friend, let me tell you, man, every day of their lives, they lift their
puny fist in the face of God Almighty, the Lord Jehovah. And maybe there's someone even sitting in this gathering this morning and before God, friend. You say, I would never do that. Let me tell you, you're living every day without Him. You think that you can exist without Him. You don't need the Lord. You take all His blessings. You take all His kindnesses. Every morning you get up, friend, you put the clothes back, and you just automatically step out of the bed. The blessing of the Lord. But you never thought of that. God gave you the ability. In Him we live. Listen to this. In Him we move and have our being. We owe everything to the Lord. But you think you owe nothing. You think that somehow that, my, this life, it's mine. I have a right to live it the way I want. I have a right to do what I want because, you see, I'm the one that's in control. I'm the one that is giving myself life. And I did this and I did that. And I can do what I like. Let me tell you, friend, in Him we live and move and have our being. God takes away from you the strength, and I'll tell you, you'll go down like a slab. God take away from the power from that body. Never ever, friend, listen, don't you live a life of defiance of God and think that God's not able to cut you down. Because let me tell you, God is an almighty God. In actual fact, who is this Lord? You can hear the arrogance, the ignorance of Pharaoh. But do you notice two things that are associated? Listen, who is? You see, he didn't know. Who is he? That I should obey him. The who and the do go together. Notice that. The who and the do. Because if you don't know who he is, friend, then you can't do his service. Let me give you another illustration of that. Do you remember when Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus? Do you remember when God stopped him? What was the first thing that Saul said to the Lord? He says, "Who art thou, Lord? Who are you?" And he said, "I am Jesus. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And there on that Damascus road, the Lord revealed who he was. What was the next question he asked when he found out who he was? "What wilt thou have me what to do?" You see, the who and the do go together. And I say this solemnly this morning. There are people in the service, and I say it with a heavy heart. There are many perhaps sitting listening to my voice or listening across the world on the internet today. And you don't appreciate of who he is. That's why you do not worship him. Because if you knew who he was, you would bow and worship. The who and do. Let me just show you one other verse in that. Turn to 2 Thessalonians, I think it is. 2 Thessalonians. Yes, we read it this morning. 2 Thessalonians, verse, chapter 1. And notice what it says here. In verse 8. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them," this is the Lord Jesus, verse 7, "shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God." They don't know who he is. They know not God. "And because they know not who he is," notice the next part, "and that obey not
They obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ because if a person knows who he is, his majesty, his power, his holiness, his omnipresence, his all-knowingness. It says they not only not know who he, they know not God, but because they know not God, they obey not the gospel. And that's why we have to preach earnestly who God is before man will be converted and do his will. But I want to say this, friend. Pharaoh's going to learn who he is. But sad to say, like many another person, even with the privilege of sitting under gospel preaching and gospel meetings, Pharaoh had to learn the hard way. Not to his salvation, but to his damnation. Time's away this morning. Let me just give one other thought so as to help you to understand the rest of this chapter. Notice the wicked raging here. Because whenever Pharaoh heard this, he set his arrogant heart against obeying God. What did he do? He didn't stop with his reviling words against God, but he then turned on God's people. Not only reviling words, but with raging deeds. Go to verse 4. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye Moses and Aaron let the people from their works? Get you unto your burdens. Verse 7. He shall no more give the people straw to make brickas heretofore. Let them go and gather straw from the cells and the peel of the bricks, which they did make heretofore. Ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. That's what they've summed up. That's how the world sums up you and me worshiping God this morning, the Lord God Almighty. Idleness and a waste of time. Vain words. Verse 9. Let there no more be laid upon the men that they may labor therein. Let them not regard vain words. That's how the world looks upon you and me when we take time to come to God's house. But what I want to show you is simply this. Evidence everywhere proved that the Hebrews had labored well for Egyptians. Chapter 1 of Exodus, and go to verse number 11. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. In other words, they labored hard for the Egyptians. But of course, the wicked men don't need facts to accuse. And so, what they did was this. And here, I help you understand just one simple little thing. What's this all about the straw? What's this about the straw? Pharaoh said, listen, no more, no more straw will be given to you. You've got to go and get it yourself. You see, they brought the straw and the people made bricks. You see, did they make bricks out of straw? No, friend. What then is this about the straw? When they denied them straw. Let me just simply give you a little thought. And there's builders in this service today. Straw in that time, did for the bricks what the rods do for the concrete today. Why do people put rods in concrete? What's it for? To strengthen. What was the straw about? Well, the simple reason for the straw was such a thing. What they did was they chopped the straw into small stems. And they mixed it in the clay to strengthen the brick. And when you think of some of the buildings they made, I can tell you this. A pile of those buildings are standing, but what we build today are falling and crumbling by us. You see, they used what they had to the best advantage. See, there's nothing by chance here. And so when it says here that they didn't give them the straw, in other words, they had to go as well as make the bricks. They had to go and find the straw to strengthen the brick. And they put fear into them. And they made them do this because that'll fill up any idle time you have. You've got to go, as well as make the brick, you've got to go and look for the straw. So that'll fill your life up so much that you'll have no time to think about worshipping. Let me say this in closing. You know, the devil is still as crafty today, because the devil will fill up your time with anything to keep you from worshipping. And you know, those who profess faith in Jesus Christ and those who are the Lord's children today should be very, very careful, friend. Don't let the devil fill up your life with things and keep you from the time of worship. Don't let the devil crowd out your life. Because why did Pharaoh do this? Because he was afraid of losing his clutch upon them. He was afraid of losing them. And friend, let me tell you, the devil's afraid of losing his grip on you. That's why he wants to keep you away from the house of God. And he'll fill your life with everything, for he doesn't want to lose the grip that he has upon you. Oh, may men and women this morning remember these words as I close. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Put God first. And you know, friends, I say this when it comes to the Lord's Day, and I have a fear that there are many of God's children who are very careless about the Lord's Day. And they're careless because they believe it's a day which for visitation, or it's a day for dropping into somebody's house, or somebody dropping into them. And friend, you're carelessly wasting time that God knows that you need to spend in His presence. That's why God set the day aside for His worship. And I say to you, if somebody say, well, listen, people, you know, they just drop in with me on a Sunday evening. Well, let me tell you this here. If they drop in with you on a Sunday evening and tell them, I go to church, and if you want to drop in with me on Sunday evening, you mean you'll come to church with me. And some of them will drop out, mind you, once you mention that. But I asked you a question. Do you think that it's more profitable to sit at home on a Sunday night than worshiping God in His house? Do you think that's wise? Do you think that's what God wants you to do? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Do you think it's more profitable for spending time with people listening to gossip and to conversation instead of bringing them to God's house to seek the salvation of their soul? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, friend. And you don't lose out. Listen to these words. And all these things shall be. What's the next word? Added unto you. Do you want God's best? Then give God yours. For Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, bless your word to our hearts. We thank Thee, our God, for the instruction of Thy precious and Thy holy word. We thank Thee that Thou art working in the life of Moses and working in the lives of the children of Israel. And whilst they face the problems and the cares of life, we thank Thee, our God, that they enjoyed the overruling sovereign plan and purpose and care of God.
We thank Thee, we can sing with the hymn writer, He will hide me, safely hide me, in the hollow of His hand. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name today that You'll speak to those that are not saved. Please, God, bring them to saving faith in Christ Your Son. For we ask it for Jesus' sake.